This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, everybody. How are you? We are live at Wayland Brewing. I keep saying, I want to say brewery and brewing. So I gotta get that extra R out of there. It's Wayland Brewing right here in Orchard Park. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad to be with you on a great, great Friday. How about that? Day number two of the NCAA tournament. How about yesterday? We get day number one. I basically put out there my brackets, 697 complete brackets. Entered in, Josh. 697 complete brackets, I think it was. Maybe 694. We had 1,000 people actually put their names on a bracket. Over 1,000, but close to 700 complete brackets. How about that? Pretty cool, right? When you think about that?
Yeah, that's a lot of people out there that are just, you know, hoping for the best and having all their, you know, dreams crushed in the first game of the day. Most of, like for me, I picked Louisville, and that did not go well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and like
what did you pick? I'm sorry, you picked who?
Half my brackets, I picked Louisville. The other half, I picked Creighton. And the ones I really cared about, I picked Louisville. So that was not a great result for me.
Well, listen, that's going to happen, especially with 8-9 games, right? I mean, everybody's going to be losing some of those 8-9 games. So you just have to keep the faith and stay with it. You don't want to lose a team that you have going on a long way. It's fine if your team loses early. Like, you're going to have a lot of teams that lose. As long as you don't have Louisville, like, going into the Final Four, that's what really kills you. You can't have a team. Like, I got a little bit nervous. I have Auburn winning it all in my bracket. And I got a little bit nervous. Auburn had, like, it was like a two-point game with, like, 2 minutes left in the first half. And then they go on a huge run. It's 10 points at halftime. You're feeling better about that. Michigan last night had to survive. If you had Clemson advancing on, if you're an ACC fan, you have Clemson, I'm sorry. If you had them advancing on, that was McNeese State, what they did to Clemson last night. And Clemson has this big comeback. I kind of tuned out of it. We had some stuff going on. Max had an event for hockey and baseball, then hockey. So I kind of checked in on the game. Clemson was down big. I'm like, wow, McNeese State is just, you know, just running them out of the gym. And all of a sudden, I look and they lose by two. Now, I know they didn't ever really have a chance to tie it at the end. They did get a bucket at the end as the time expired to get within two. But I saw that happen as well. So after day number one of the Sal Sports CBSSports.com bracket, which I am going to award the winning person $100 to the NCAA online shop. If you're second place, you're going to get $50, a gift card to the NCAA online shop, and third place gets $25 out of the goodness of my heart because I'm just a nice guy. We're going to do that today for the winner. And here are the leaders after day number one. Just day one, okay? We got Lucas Jones in first, who has Connecticut winning it all. You know what I love about the leaderboard, Josh, is all the leaders, the top one, two, three, four, five people have somebody different winning the whole thing, all right? And this is after day number one, which is really cool, right? So Lucas Jones is in first. Has Connecticut winning it all, 99 points. Then Dennis Wepner, 98, has Duke winning it all. Neil Bomber, 97, has Alabama. My buddy, who's a coach down in Florida, actually, a football and basketball coach, Sean Huber, 95 points. I texted him, like, dude, you're, like, out of 700 people, fourth place in my pool right now, 95 points. He's got the Gators. And then Anthony Negrelli, 94 points, has Michigan State winning it all. So we got a lot of different things. And people, you know, different kind of teams winning it all here for people who are up near the top. I mean, I hate to start on a negative, but what about last night? What about, I think that's a movie name. I think that might be a movie name or something. About Last Night is the name of a movie or a show or something like that, right? About Last Night, Josh, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, the other day, Jeremy did something on the radio that talked about how a team, like, if you thought your team ever hit rock bottom, you didn't know rock bottom until what this team did in Europe. Did you hear that story? You were on with them, right? You heard that story about that team in Europe and what they did?
Yeah,
the soccer team?
That was rough.
With the moment of silence? Did you hear that when Jeremy was talking about it?
Yeah, it was bad.
So Jeremy tells this story the other day on the air. Yeah, he says, if you think your team ever hit rock bottom, you don't know, because this one team in Europe, apparently, and I don't remember the name, but I'm listening to the story as I'm driving, and he said that They had a moment of silence for a former player who passed away. Well, it turned out the player never actually passed away. So they had this moment of silence. Like, that is rock bottom. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that, right? Somebody got really bad information. So that is truly rock bottom. But last night, the Sabres find yet another way to make you go, I can't believe that just happened. But at this point, you kind of can believe it just happened. And I was with it. Did you watch the entire game last night? Remember, we talked about this. Did you stay with the entire game last night, Josh?
No, I actually went to bed after the first period, and it was a great surprise for me this morning waking up. And the first five posts I see on Twitter are, wow, the Sabres scored an own goal. And then, like, a Sabres account going, guys, how did we do this? And then another, like, national account going, oh, wow, look at this. The Sabres scored an own goal. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, it was just such a great way to wake up this morning and start my Friday off on the right foot. Like, just what another, like, and it's, I think you tweeted out this morning, it's just kind of funny, like, the year of crazy goals. We had a goaltender from the Penguins score on the Sabres on an empty net, and then the Sabres score on themselves on an empty net.
It's just
crazy.
I know, and I wrote that last night. I said, in the same season, the Sabres have scored in their own empty net from their own offensive zone, by the way. Let's remember that. Right? Their own offensive zone. They throw the puck back and it goes all the way in the net. And then they also had a goalie actually score a real goal in them. These are not two fluky goals either. Like, sometimes goalies have scored in the NHL over the years. We've seen some goalies literally shoot it down the ice, like what happened against the Penguins when that happened with the Sabres. But generally, when a goalie has scored in the NHL, a lot of times it's he's the last person to touch it. Something happens. That's happened as well. This was a legit goalie goal, shooting it down the ice. This was, what, maybe 2 months ago? I remember when it was. It was the night before a Bills game. I was out with a buddy of mine who was in town. And I remember watching it, actually. We were out at a place and watching it. So I remember that happened a couple months ago. And then last night, can you play the audio here, Josh? You have the audio, right? Because I think the most amazing part about the audio, and I think it's everybody, every Sabres fan is Rob Ray during the audio. Every Sabres fan is Rob Ray, because leading up to the audio, you're going to play it, but I don't think you hear the part, because I've heard it this morning when you played it. Early in this sequence, what happens is, in case people didn't see it, the Sabres are down. There's about a minute and a half left. They have pulled James Reimer already. So they're down 3-2. They pull James Reimer. They're on a 6-on-5, essentially, with no goalie. Then there's a delayed penalty that's coming to the Utah Hockey Club. And Rob starts saying on the air, give him the puck. Give him the puck. He's saying because you want to stop it so you get a full, you know, minute and a half of just going, you know, 6-on-4, basically, even though it's going to be no goalie. Give him the puck, he's saying. And then this happens.
Buffalo, a high stick in front. Doesn't appear to have been called.
Yeah, there it is. Give him the puck.
Give him the puck.
Give him the puck.
Sabres throw it away, and this is going to maybe go into the net, off the boards. Oh, my goodness, it did.
Give him the puck.
I mean, the last bit there, the last four words by Rob Ray are all of us, right? I mean, because we're like, give him the puck. Like, that's just, it's a microcosm of things that have happened. And with this organization and where they've been and what has happened over the last, I guess, 14 years, but really maybe more recently. And it, I don't know. There's nothing left to really say about it, right? I come on the radio here. We could talk about it. What are you going to do? You're going to call up and go, ha ha, yeah, I don't know. You're going to do that? You're going to call up and say, fire Kevin Adams, fire Lindy Ruff, sell the team? What? What are we doing? We've exhausted all of this. I think last night was just another one of those, it's SMH, facepalm, whatever. I can't believe this just happened. But at the same time, you almost can believe it because these are the things that have happened with the Buffalo Sabres over the last however many years you want to talk about it. And it's just, it's really tough. If you are a Sabres fan, I think Buffalo is a proud hockey city. It is. And you can debate me and tell me all you want. That's not true because they've been bad. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we have now been ingrained in my family in the hockey culture of actually having my son play. And I am blown away. And I know this has always been the case. I think it might be even more so now because so many, because it's awesome to see so many girls playing hockey as well now these days. But I would say that I was blown away, and I've been blown away over the last year or so, of how hockey resonates all across this region at every level. And we are truly such a great hockey city. We can be. We should be. We are. And I understand that it's tough to say that when you have a team, a professional hockey team, that has gone 14 years of missing the playoffs. And I'm not one to come on and take cheap shots and make jokes and things like that. I'm not. I just get upset and frustrated because I'm like a lot of you. I grew up passionate about this team, going to games, and remembering a lot of great things. And maybe I'm older than some of you. I remember the 80s and the Boston Bruins fights in the Adams Division playoffs. And some of you remember the 90s, and that's your entry point into the Buffalo Sabres, and LaFontaine and McGillney and Dominic Hasek, and then going to a Stanley Cup in the late 90s. And some of you, maybe your entry point, like Josh, my producer, like Joe DiBiase, early 2000s, and then you get into 06, 07. Those are your formative years, and we all have those entry points. We all have those memories, right, to get this to of what we have here, and that's what we're kind of holding on to, and it's so frustrating because as much as you say, and I get it all the time, I see it. I see people tweet me at Sal Sports. I get people calling, and they say it. Inevitably, I'm checked out. I'm done. All right? And you might be, but you'll be back. You'll be back. I don't think there's anybody I don't believe anybody, at least. I have friends that have said it. I have friends that'll tell me I'm not buying season tickets, and that's fine. And they might not have, but they want to go. They're only doing it because they don't see the value in it necessarily. It's not because they don't love their hockey team anymore. I mean, we love this team. And when something like last night happens, Like I said, I'm not the one. I did tweet out, hey, I can't believe the Sabres had a goalie score on them and scored a goal, an own goal, you know, in their own empty net in the same season. But, I mean, it's easy to go down the hole of just making fun and LOLs and laughing. Like, that's not me. It's not my nature. It's not what I do. It's also just I'm not making fun. I want them to be good. I want them to be better. I want to go back to those days. And a lot of you, I have a son, you have kids, that you've been telling them how great like it was going to these games back then and watching this team play back in whatever it is. Again, your entry point. Maybe you grew up in the 70s with the Sabres and watching Gilbert Perreault skate around, right? 80s like me. I was late 70s, early 80s into the mid 80s. And they weren't that good, by the way, in the mid 80s. They missed the playoffs a couple times then. They got out in the first round to the Quebec Nordique a couple times. And then you, or maybe you're that. Maybe you're the person who, oh my God, you remember this being what's called a hockey town over a football town. I would always debate people about this. That, like, people would tell me all the time how, oh my God, Buffalo is much more of a hockey town. And you would say that because in 06, 07, and around that time period, the Sabres were so darn good, and the Bills were in the middle of a playoff drought. Pretty much the middle, by the way, of the playoff drought. The exact middle, 6-7 years in. 8 years in, you get my point. We didn't know when they're going to make the playoffs. And I hear that from people, and I would hear that. And I'd always say, no, I think that, like, I remember the Super Bowl years. There's nothing like when the Bills are really good. The truth is, we are both, right? The truth is, we are both. We love our football team, and it's a lot easier to love right now. They're really good. They're knocking on the door of a Super Bowl, and they have the freaking league MVP. But, you know, as much as you tell me, you might be checked out on the Sabres, and, you know, where you are as far as if you want to just not even pay attention. Yeah, maybe that's the case right now because they're in last place and you're not checking the scoreboard every day. But I just know that everybody here will be back. They will. We just need that to happen. And last night, when things like that happen, it hurts our faith so much, right? But all it takes is a nice winning streak to restore it. We've all done it. I did it. Earlier this year, I mean, they have a 13-game losing streak, and that kind of, you know, took them out of it. But there are a couple times where all of a sudden you have a little bit of an uptick. You're like, wait a minute. Every time I'm out, they pull me back in. Right? The old Godfather line, Godfather 3. I think that was it, Godfather 3. It's just tough, man. I don't know. I just don't see – I don't know. I guess I want to see the light, and people say at the end of the tunnel – a lot of people say there is no light at the end of the tunnel because of front office, ownership, whatever gets you there. I don't know. But in the meantime, I'll still be here. And it's not just because it's my job. It's because I want them to be good. And I want to see them in the playoffs. And I want them to win. I think a lot of you are in the same boat. It's just really hard. And last night was hard. Last night was hard to see that because of what happened at the end of the game, allowing a goal into your own net. And knowing where this team, this is not like a fluke that a team that's in first place in their division, second place in their division, they're going to the playoffs, and oh my God, I can't believe they had a terrible game and a terrible moment. It just seems like it compounds it. It's on top of each other. So I didn't want to, I don't love being negative and starting off, but, and I try to be positive, I'm a positive guy, and that's kind of why I wanted to start this way, because as much as it is tough to see, tough to watch, tough to talk about, we're all right there. I'm with you, and I think we all want to just be pulled in the same direction together. I just don't know when that's going to happen, and last night was tough seeing that. Luckily, we had some college basketball on at the same time last night. How about that, Josh? Did you flip it over to those late college basketball games after the Sabres game, or were you just like, I am out?
I mean, I stayed up for the first period of the Sabres game, then I went to bed, but I was checking in on some of the games throughout the afternoon. I mean, there were some great finishes. I was really bummed about UC San Diego. Yeah. I thought they were going to do it. I had them in a lot of my brackets, and I just had a really good feeling about them, and they kept it close, but, you know, unfortunately, that's how March goes. So, but the great, there were great games yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
by
great
the way,
moments all over.
Yeah, for sure. excuse me, I'm in 309th place. So
I just checked in my best ones.
I know,
at UC 200.
San Diego. I have Michigan going on. Okay. Well, that's good. Good for you. And by the way, if you're in it, remember, you get points for the seeds if they win. So if UC San Diego would have won, you would have gotten 12 points because they're a 12 seed and a point for the round, which is worth 1 point in the first round. So I reward upsets here, and I also do the round-by-round scoring. Hey, let's flip it a little bit, all right? We just talked about everything going wrong here with the Sabres and where they are. And last night, a really tough night, obviously, in Utah. We're going to flip it a little bit, talk some college hoops today. Got my buddy John Scott, WGRZ TV2, Channel 2 Sports Director, coming in at 11 a.m. out here. He lives in the South Town, so I got to, with John. I said, hey, why don't you come in, say hi. Hoping to see his lovely wife, Heather Prusak, as well. You know her from Buffalo Sports Media. And I know that everybody might not know out there, but I know it's public. They had a baby recently, Logan. So I said, bring Heather, bring Logan. We'll see. Maybe we can say hi to each other. But either way, John will join me at 11 a.m. And we got the games going on a little bit after that. And I have to talk to John about what Jeremy said. Will John get to admit on the record that the worst officiated game ever in the history of college basketball was when Ohio State beat Syracuse in the Elite Eight about, what, 10 years ago now? It has to be about. I have to look exactly what year that was. It's got to be about 10 years ago now. We'll see if he can get him to admit it. In the meantime, we'll also talk Bills with John, my buddy John Scott. We'll do that. And but before that, how about this? It is the sun is shining. I know it's a little bit chilly. The Buffalo Bisons open up next week. The Bisons open up next week. We are in baseball season, everybody. What is the I know that the minor league schedule has kind of morphed a little bit here and expanded both in the early part of the season and in the late part of the season. It's been a couple years, but if I remember right, and I have to go back and look, I think the Bisons might have opened on the road last year, which kind of that meant that they were at later to open the season. But we're going to be getting baseball games here in Buffalo next week downtown. How about that? Very cool. So anyway, that being said, Pat Malacaro is going to join me. And we are going to talk about the Bisons and their opening schedule, opening day, and what's going on. Pat Malacaro, of course, WGR Sports Radio 550. He is with Brian Colzio on the Sabres pre. Also is the play-by-play man for the Buffalo Bisons. My apologies, everybody. I was in mid-sentence, and all of a sudden we had just had a drop connection, but I'm back here. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at Wayland Brewing. Come on out. 3740 North Buffalo Road in Orchard Park. I am looking. They have breakfast here, too. We have the promotions team here giving away WGR merch. Come on by. You can spin the wheel. You can grab some stuff. And I'm looking over, and there's a beautiful bacon and egg sandwich over there. They got egg and cheese sandwiches, corned beef, egg, cheese on rye, loaded hash browns. Come on by if you want for lunch. How about this? And dinner. Fish fry all day fish fry here. Also, they want to let you know, Mondays, bingo. Wednesdays, trivia. Thursdays, burger specials. They got concerts and special events. A bocce league on Buffalo's Best Patty. I might have to actually join the bocce league. You ever play bocce? Vinette, you ever play bocce? Oh, my gosh. Am I the only bocce player here? You got to learn how to play bocce. All right. if you have a wedding season, they have a great spot here to have your wedding reception. It's really cool. Come on out here. It is Wayland Brewing, and it's on North Buffalo Road in Orchard Park. You can't miss it. Huge space, great drinks, great food, and, of course, all the games today on the NCAA March Madness tournament that's going to be starting and tipping off just after 12:15 p.m. Going to talk about that a little bit with Pat Malacaro coming up here in just a second. Let me get you today's schedule real quick. Coming up at 12:15 p.m., our first tip-off is Baylor against Mississippi State. Then Robert Morris against Alabama. And, of course, Nate Oates, who used to be at University of Buffalo, the head coach at Alabama, there at 12:40 p.m. Lipscomb against Iowa State, the Bisons of Lipscomb, against Paul Hamilton's Iowa State team. Colorado State, Memphis after that. Mount St. Mary's takes on Duke. For all you Duke fans, that's a 2:50 p.m. tip time. I actually tweeted this out because I was thinking about this today because Rick Pitino, St. John's, he's doing a great job at St. John's. And I said, you know what? I wonder if Rick Pitino, I'm thinking about where he's been, all the head coaching spots he's been. Does he have the most, like, biggest name brands of where he's been a head coach, counting college and NBA? He's been the head coach of, get this, Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, and St. John's, including Iona, in college, and the Knicks and the Celtics in the NBA. Then there's Larry Brown, though, who might have him beat. He's been the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, the New Jersey Nets, the San Antonio Spurs, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Indiana Pacers, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Detroit Pistons, the New York Knicks, and, oh, by the way, in college, UCLA and Kansas, which is incredible. I wonder what my buddy Pat Malacaro thinks about this. He's a big college basketball fan. We bring him on now on the Western Hotline, of course, the play-by-play man for the Buffalo Bisons. What do you think? I think Pitino, maybe Larry Brown the most, but Larry Brown and Pitino might have the distinctions, I'd say, Pat, for the biggest name brands of being the head coach in both college and the NBA.
I think you're right. And when you talk about Rick Pitino, he didn't just coach at those locations in college. He was a winner everywhere he's gone. And he's taken all those different programs, which nobody else has done in the history of college basketball, right? Once he took St. John's to the tournament this year. So I think the longevity, getting back to college after unceremoniously leaving Louisville and having to go to Greece for a couple of years and coach over there and then coming to Iona. So there's a lot of moving parts there, but, Rick Pitino has stood the test of time and wasn't even an assistant under Jim Boeheim for a year or two when he was getting his feet wet.
Yeah, he was. He started off, he's actually in Hawaii to start, and then he went his first, he was an assistant, and then he was an interim head coach in Hawaii, believe it or not, in 1976. Then Jim Boeheim hired him. And I believe the story goes that when he went to Kentucky, that's when Jim Boeheim was a guest of his at the Kentucky Derby, and that's where Jim met Julie, his wife.
I didn't know that story, but how about that?
Yeah, no doubt. That's Rick Pitino. And look, Larry Brown's had a great, successful career, too. He was known kind of for turning some teams around and he won in a lot of places as well. Pat Malacaro joining me here on the Western Hotline. How about the tourney? I know you're a big college basketball guy. You've been involved with Canisius, the Metro, and watching it, the mid-majors. What is your kind of consumption of the tournament these days now that everything has changed so much in college basketball with NIL and the portal?
Yeah, I think, being at the Gallagher Center for Niagara Games or the Kessel Athletic Center for Canisius, to me, I always root for those level of teams because you're right. I mean, now that NIL and even going back to 2018 and 2019 when, the Kentuckys were really starting to see that programs that built four-year programs. Look, Dayton, unfortunately, COVID in 2020, Dayton was trending towards being one of the top teams in the country and having a run in the NCAA tournament. That's what I love to see about college basketball was a Canisius, a Niagara in the Metro Atlantic that could build a program for 2, 3, 4 years and maybe upset somebody. Maybe not a 16. That doesn't happen all that often. But, do you get a 13 or 14 seed and be an upset because all you need to do is be better on one single day. And if you've got a core group of players, they can be better more consistently than the one and dones. And, you look at Niagara this past year. They were one of six programs in the country that did not return a single scholarship player. And the other program, another one of the programs was Iona. Both of those programs had the same head coach. So four of the schools had new head coaches, and that's why they didn't return any scholarship players. But for Greg Paulus, he had a completely different roster this past year, and it was a work in progress. And that's why you saw some of the struggles for teams like that. But I would prefer those mid-majors that have been building something, just those great stories of the team overcoming years of struggles and finally getting in the tournament.
What do you think about where they're positioned right now? I think Greg Paulus, like you said, he's had to really revamp his roster. Canisius, as we know, has as well. But, going forward, the outlook of the MAC and even some of the other teams that you've seen, like Mount St. Mary's in the tournament as well.
Yeah, I think the future is bright. And that's one of the things that, in talking to Greg Paulus this year, he was very forthright in mentioning, look, the rules have changed so much, and they change so frequently that you may recruit one way, and then by the time you're done with the recruiting period, the rules in terms of transfers and NILs might change in another direction. So being nimble and being able to adjust on the fly is such a big thing. And I think this past year was an adjustment period for a lot of those level programs, the smaller conference programs that you may only have a player for 1 or 2 years. How do you maximize that? How do you figure out a way to keep a player in your program for a couple of years, whether it's recruiting more into Canada and internationally, because you have more of an ability to build a 2 or 3 year relationship there with players. So I think that's the biggest thing this year for Niagara specifically, for Canisius and Jim Christian. Look, this year was just about getting back into the swing of things and with a new head coach and Jim Christian coming from Boston College previously. He can be a winning coach, having coached in the ACC. So I think the brighter days are ahead for both programs, and this is one of those a reset year, so to speak. And I think going forward in the Metro Atlantic, only 10 teams make the conference tournament because it is a conference that has grown by 4 teams in the last 2 years. So not everybody goes to Atlantic City. How do you position yourself to at least get in the top 10? And then, in the case of Mount St. Mary's this year, they were not the top team in the conference all year long, but these conference tournaments are so fun. They played well enough throughout the course of the year. They got that Western Europe connection. They had a new head coach this season, and they're a good team. And they're one of those stories where they've been building something over a couple of years, and now you go up against Duke today after winning in the first four game. It's going to be a tough road, but they're certainly a school that has really built the way that I like to watch the tournament.
And by the way, before we get to baseball and the Bisons, a couple of Canisius connections want to say happy birthday yesterday to former head coach Jim Barron. He was his birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to Jim Barron. And how about Mike McDonald and what he did with Damon this year? And I know it didn't turn out great for them last week, losing on Sunday to St. Thomas. But, boy, what a fantastic season that Damon, Mike McDonald, and his crew put together.
Absolutely. I mean, you go all the way back to the exhibition play and what they were building, and to run through 20-plus wins without a loss this season, even though it doesn't end up in a completely undefeated season, losing in their tournament, an incredible job. And I think just a great story of a coach that has really found a great spot for him to build a program, and he's worked so well there, won so many games there, and I think just an incredible story that thankfully I think a lot of the country has come to learn and shine a spotlight on.
Pat Malacaro here on the Western Hotline, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bisons. They begin next week. Friday is opening day. How about that, Pat? It's got to be the earliest opening day you can remember, at least here in Buffalo. I know that they've expanded the minor league season a little bit, but holy cow, Friday, March 28th, baseball in downtown Buffalo.
In 140 seasons of baseball, this will be the earliest opener. Last year, it'll surpass last year, March 29th. This year, the Bisons will open at 2:05 against the Rochester Red Wings. So at least, this year you've got that regional rivalry, Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse, and the throughway rivalry that we have. So it'll be fun. Yesterday, I hope folks enjoyed the reveal of our reverse retro uniform for this season, something I had a big hand in kind of bringing to fruition. And I think fans of the early 90s or mid-90s, early 2000s Bisons will like it, and something we'll wear on Thursdays all throughout the season. But opening day next Friday, just a week away, hard to believe. There's still some final cuts. So the Blue Jays have a couple of decisions to make. Yesterday, several players were sent down to minor league camp, including starting pitcher Jake Bloss, who I would expect to be a big part of the Bisons' rotation this season. Someone that was acquired from the Astros last year in the Yusei Kikuchi trade, made eight starts with the Herd last season, and he's a young, up-and-coming pitcher. Actually went to Georgetown for his final season of college baseball, and is really some of the Blue Jays are very high on. Pitched in the spring breakout game, which Major League Baseball has now had all 30 teams play their top prospects in a showcase game, essentially, against another minor league system, and he pitched against Minnesota, four strikeouts and two innings, was named a first-team spring breakout player. So I think the Bisons pitching staff this year is going to have a lot of prospects like Bloss to help lead the way.
Yeah, so the Bisons, obviously, the parent team is the Toronto Blue Jays. What about guys who kind of we could be seeing in Toronto, we could be seeing in Buffalo, guys that you think could be kind of a little bit on the cusp or maybe have to have a cup of coffee here or there that are right there that guys people should be familiar with when they go to games?
Yeah, I think it starts in the position player side of things. A lot of players that got experience last year in Toronto because of injuries and trades. Mm-hmm. Well, this year the Blue Jays have kind of restacked the deck a little bit, so someone like Leo Jimenez, who was the Bison starting shortstop right around opening day last year, potentially could start the season in Buffalo. I know the Blue Jays are very high on him. It's the situation of you've got Bo Bichette at shortstop right now. You're not going to supplant him, so does he get everyday playing time in Buffalo? Alan Roden was the International League Player of the Month in August last year, and he's somebody who was impressed in spring training this year. Very young, went to Creighton, third-round pick in 2022 out of Creighton. So he's only been in pro ball a couple of years, but he should be somebody that if he continues to hit the ball as well as he did, he hit 345 in August last year and over 300 overall in his time in Buffalo, over 71 games. If he continues anywhere close to that, you could be seeing him in Toronto very soon. That outfield in Toronto, they're dealing with some injuries, guys like Dalton Varsho, who are still coming back from a shoulder injury last year. So the outfield could be a spot where you see that up and down movement of some players. And then on the starting pitching, and on the pitching side, I mentioned Jake Bloss, but also a left-handed reliever in Mason Fluharty. And somebody talking to the beat reporters in Toronto, I think one of the biggest compliments that I heard for him this past offseason is he's a throwback lefty. He's one of these guys. He's not just a specialist. He is a crossfire action, made 56 appearances for the Bisons last year, pitched the most of any pitcher on the Bisons roster last season. And he's somebody that's still very young. And here's a funny connection. I mentioned the Yusei Kikuchi trade. The Blue Jays acquired Will Wagner, the son of Billy Wagner, last year. He made his big league debut. Well, Will Wagner and Mason Fluharty were college teammates at Liberty, and Mason was kind of the one that almost broke the news to Will Wagner that he was traded to the Blue Jays, and a funny little story there. So those are just a couple of the guys that maybe Bison fans came to know a little bit last year and should get to know more this year, and the fans in Toronto will see him as well.
Take me into the life of a play-by-play announcer for a minor league club. I mean, you got to get to know a lot of different players across a platform that a lot of people aren't as familiar with. Yeah, there's some stars that people know when they're coming up. We all know who Vlad Guerrero was when he's coming up, and you know the Bisons guys. But what's life like for a minor league play-by-play announcer across the AAA level when you're getting ready to take on a series against a team like, let's say, the Durham Bulls, who is the next series, or like Rochester, Worcester, the Red Sox, right? Worcester. What's it like for you?
You know, the thing I always come back to is everybody has a story, and it's finding those stories about players, and it's a six-day series, so not telling every single story on day one is such a big part of it, but, you know, just getting to know the players a lot and doing the research on them, you may find out, you know, that in the past there was a player who was with the Bisons, mentioned Billy Wagner. Well, Billy Wagner was his high school coach, and finding out those stories and expanding on them a little bit and getting to know the player and that comfortability of opening up some of those stories. So to me, that's the biggest part, and some of the most fun of the job is being able to tell those stories and finding out. Maybe a guy years ago talking to a player, he was working construction when he got drafted by the Blue Jays, and you know the story about him going home, leaving his job at the construction site, going home to tell his parents that he was drafted by the Blue Jays. You know, stories like that are just things you come to find out, whether it's doing the research. Maybe they just want, you know, sometimes players want to tell you those stories. So I think that's some of the most fun. And there's over the course of a year, last year there was 80 different stories. 8-0 of Bison's players to tell. So it always, over 150 game season, is a lot of fun. And, you know, even seeing some of the families come to town from time to time and, you know, interacting with them and different stories they have to share as well is some of the excitement of the job.
And the stadium, still the largest minor league stadium in the country, Pat. I mean, like, the capacity, and it's amazing. Stadium, I remember the stadium was built in the late 1980s, and they transitioned from Old War Memorial to then Pilot Field. But it's really a great atmosphere and experience, especially after what happened with the Blue Jays having to come to, you know, to Salem Field and how they redid the stadium. It's a great experience for everybody.
Yeah, I love it. And 16,600, give or take a few seats. You're right. It's still the biggest. We're still the big nights like Star Wars night coming up towards the end of May.
Yes.
This year, Harry Potter night. I think that's one fans are really going to enjoy. When you have those big nights, the Friday night fireworks, the KeyBank Independence Eve celebration that we'll have again this year, when you have 16,000 people in the ballpark, it really does have a big league feel. You know, in the middle of the summer, you've got a great game going on, the crowd's into it. You're right, you know, the bullpens are now beyond right field, so it has a little bit of the ballpark has a different look to it now a little bit in terms of, you know, that big league look again. So I think all those things together, that's some of the most fun when you're at a game and it's the middle of the summer and, you know, you're on game 110 of 150. Well, when there's 12,000 to 16,000 people in the ballpark, it doesn't feel like day 120 out of 150. It feels like, you know, you're in a major league park, and it's so fun. So, yeah, and the, you know, when you come down to the ballpark, whether it's a Star Wars night, a Sunday where it's family-themed, there's always promotions going on at the ballpark, too. And our Canadian friends, you know, right now are running a promotion where we're at par promotion, 30% off the ticket price if you purchase from Bisons.com with a Canadian credit card. You can check it out there. You know, different things like that to try and encourage more fans to come check us out, come down to the ballpark, see a game, and, you know, stay for the show that we love to provide for fans and families as well.
Before I let you go, speaking of Canada, just a little bit on the Blue Jays from you here, and obviously a tough AL East, but Is the story of Ladd and his pending free agency kind of unfortunately overshadowing, you know, this team and this season right now for you?
I think it will be for sure. I think that's one thing, you know, whatever city that the Blue Jays go to on the road, that'll always be the topic of conversation. But I think for Vladdy specifically, I don't think it'll be a distraction for him, and I don't think it'll be a distraction for his teammates. You know, this is something that they've dealt with before in terms of, you know, different players on expiring deals, and they don't get done. But I think for Vladdy, if they just go out and he has a good start to the year, Bo Bichette, who was hurt a lot of last season and struggled to get going, if the Blue Jays opening at home this year, something they hadn't been able to do 2 years in a row because of construction at Rogers Center, if they can get off to a good start, I think a lot of that conversation goes away, and the conversation becomes they're contending for the AL East in a wide-open division this year. I mean, between the Yankee injuries, the Orioles, you know, losing Corbin Burns in starting pitching-wise, and they're still very young. The Red Sox seem to be right there in the mix this year. The Blue Jays, even Tampa Bay, and who knows, with the Rays having to play all their games at George Steinbrenner Field this season, and not having a home, so to speak, is that something they can rally around it and kind of build something, you know, that storybook ending. So in a wide-open division, if the Blue Jays get off to a hot start, I think a lot of the contract talk goes further down the list of the talking points and road cities, and they can just get back to baseball.
Pat, have a fantastic season. We'll be listening to you, 1520 The Bet, obviously, for Buffalo Bisons games this year. And, of course, enjoy the summer. It's here, buddy.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. That is Pat Malacaro, play-by-play man of the Buffalo Bisons. Catch him when the games are played here on the Bet 1520, our sister station. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout. My buddy John Scott just strolled in with Heather Prusak and their, I guess, almost newborn, we'd say, Logan. I have never met Logan. I have to say hi to him when we get to a break here. But come on over if you want to say hi to me, want to say hi to John, want to listen to us talk a little bit of college hoops and the Buffalo Bills. We are at Wayland Brewing. Come on down. It's 3470 North Buffalo Road in Orchard Park. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up very quickly the hour, and then John Scott joins me at the top of the hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. You are always welcome to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. When you do, it's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sal Capaccio here with you. John Scott, WGRZ TV2 Channel 2 Sports Director, is going to join me here in just a few minutes after the break. John is here. Come on by. Say hi to him. Want to say hi to Heather Prusak, who you know from Buffalo local media and TV as well. And they brought Logan. Logan Scott is here as well. He's their newborn baby. He's sleeping. He's beautiful. So come on by, say hi if you want to join us here for a little bit of college hoops action. John and I will talk about the Bills as well, and I will ask him, did you hear this? What I have to ask you from Jeremy White? Okay. I'm going to ask John what Jeremy said I have to ask him. The first thing that I'm going to ask John Scott when he comes back here, it relates to that Syracuse-Ohio State game many years ago in the Elite Eight. We'll do that when we come back here. We have the brackets, day number two of the tournament starting in, what, an hour and 20 minutes? That should be fun. And we're going to be talking a lot about that and the Bills and the moves they've made this offseason and what still needs to be done with John Scott joining me next year live at Wayland Brewing. Come on by, folks. Let's have a good time today. We're getting to lunchtime now, so I expect the place to start filling up, and I hope you're going to be here as well to say hi to us here on WGR's Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.